Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Friday, May 31st, 2013, and today we are talking about economics, and we are talking about scandal in the Obama White House, scandal everywhere you look. If you recall, the commissioner of the IRS, Mr. Douglas Shulman, has repeatedly said that he did not have anything to do with this scandal at the IRS and targeting of conservative groups, things of that nature. And he certainly did not convey any of this information that he did not know to the president. But it turns out publicly released records show that IRS Commissioner Douglas Shulman visited the White House during President Obama's current 5 years in office. And really, it's only 4 years because Mr. Shulman left his office in November of last year. So we're talking about 4 years of the Obama administration. He visited the White House at least 157 recorded times during that period of time. During the times when it is known for certain that this IRS targeting of conservative groups was going on, he visited the White House 118 times. That is amazing. His predecessor, Mr. Everson, by contrast, visited the Bush White House a total of one time during the entire Bush presidency. Why on earth would the commissioner of the IRS visit the White House 157 times? Now, those are the recorded visits, folks. Sometimes people make visits that aren't recorded, but those are the recorded visit. It is far, far more than any other person in the Obama administration, more than any cabinet member, more than most of the cabinet members combined, more than Eric Holder, his personal confidant and friend and the Attorney General. This man practically lived at the White House, it seemed, Mr. Shulman, and yet we are expected to believe that he did not say one word to President Obama about this targeting, all this going on during his campaign and so forth. He didn't say a single word about it to President Obama. Is that believable? Well, I don't think so, but we will see. Sooner or later, somebody is going to have to answer the question, what was the IRS commissioner doing at the White House all those times? What did he do? A congressman asked him that. He said, what was the typical visit? And he said, well, taking my children to the White House Easter egg hunt. That was what he said, a typical visit. Perhaps Mr. Shulman has committed perjury. It sounds possible. His integrity is certainly under question because he testified in March of 2012 before Congress that he was not targeting conservative groups, and that turned out to be a lie. We will see if Congress is really serious about lying to Congress, or is it not? Meanwhile, over at the Department of Justice, the Attorney General and the President are under fire. Even his friends are turning against him now, and President Obama decides to just shrug it off by saying, well, he wants all these news organizations, the Associated Press and the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others to come to an off-the-record meeting with Mr. Holder. In other words, they would not be able to report what happens at the meeting and what is said at the meeting. And then Mr. Holder would report back to Obama. And the news organizations, to their credit, said, no thanks, we won't be attending anything like that. Mr. Dana Milbank, Washington Post columnist, Dana Milbank said that the Rosen affair, now Rosen was the Fox News reporter, he said the Rosen affair is as flagrant an assault on civil liberties as anything done by George Bush's administration. Folks, that is about the death penalty from a liberal columnist. Going on, he said, and it uses technology to silence critics in a way that Richard Nixon could only have dreamed of. In other words, Obama is worse than Nixon and George W. Bush. That is quite an admission from a Washington Post columnist. He goes on to say, to treat a reporter as a criminal for doing his job, seeking out information the government doesn't want made public, deprives Americans of the First Amendment freedom on which all other constitutional rights are based. The New York Times did an editorial of what happened to the Fox reporter, and they said, with the decision to label a Fox News television reporter a possible co-conspirator in a criminal investigation of a news leak, the Obama administration has moved beyond protecting government secrets to threatening fundamental freedom of the press to gather news. That is just one of the columns. There were many, many others written about this, his friends turning against him, not attending his meetings. Well, interesting things are going on. President Obama doesn't seem to get it just yet. He decided he would clear up all this mess by appointing somebody to investigate Eric Holder over at the Department of Justice. And guess who that person was? Well, that's right, Eric Holder. He appointed Eric Holder to investigate Eric Holder and report back to him. We will see if Congress swallows all this stuff, we'll call it that, that the Obama White House routinely shovels out to them. We will see. Meanwhile, in the economy, in the economic world, while all these scandals are going on, here's some interesting economic Obama news for you folks. Listen to some of this stuff. There are fewer Americans working in manufacturing than there was in 1950, even though the population of the country has more than doubled since then. It says that the New York Times now reports there are approximately 70,000 abandoned buildings in Detroit. In 1985, our trade deficit with China was approximately $6 million. Last year, 2012, it was $315 billion, the largest trade deficit that one nation has had in the history of the world. I remind you that a trade deficit means money is flowing out of one country into another. According to the Economic Policy Institute, the United States is losing 500,000 jobs to China every single year, and we wonder where all the jobs are. Back in 1950, more than 80% of all men in the U.S. had jobs. Today, less than 65% do. At this point, 53% of all American workers make $30,000 per year or less. That is truly amazing. Small business is rapidly dying in America. At this point, only about 7% of all non-farm working workers in the United States are self-employed, the lowest ever in history. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, more than 146 million Americans are either poor or low income. Also, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, 49% of all Americans live in a home that receives direct monetary benefits from the federal government. Back in 1983, less than one-third of all Americans lived in a home that received direct monetary benefits from the federal government. Overall, the federal government runs nearly 80 different means-tested welfare programs, and at this point, more than 100 million Americans are enrolled in at least one of them. U.S. families that have a head of household who is under the age of 30 have a poverty rate of 37%. 45% of all children are living in poverty in Miami. More than 50% of all children are living in poverty in Cleveland, and about 60% of all children are living in poverty in Detroit. Today, more than 1 million public school students in the U.S. are homeless. This is the first time in history this has happened in our country. When Barack Obama first entered the White House, about 32 million Americans were on food stamps. Now it's more than 47 million Americans. That is the White House of Barack Hussein Obama, Mr. Hope and Change, Mr. Transparency. That's the way I see it, folks. Friday, May 31st, 2013. Until next time, folks, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.